Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Can we find such a one as this? This was a question that was asked by Pharaoh in the midst of the biblically recorded event of Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh dreamt of 7 lean cattle devouring 7 fat cattle, but grew no fatter. And he also saw 7 lean ears of grain devour 7 full ears of grain, and they grew no fatter. And Joseph interpreted these dreams to foretell the 7 years of plenty that would come upon Egypt, but only to be followed by 7 years of famine. And following that interpretation, Joseph gave some advice to Pharaoh for preserving supplies during the plenteous years to be used during the years of scarcity. He suggested the appointment of a man over the entire operation who was wise and discreet and one who could properly execute the work that had to be done. Upon receiving this advice, it was then that Pharaoh asked, "Can we find such a one as this?" Genesis 41 and verse 38. Pharaoh then determined that Joseph was just the man, none so discreet and as wise as thou art, and he appointed him over this matter. Doubtless Pharaoh made many appointments and decisions during his rule as the king of Egypt, but none was more excellent than his selection of Joseph, a man who was ruled and governed by the word of God as directed by the Spirit, one who had the attitude and disposition to be subject to deity. Joseph was a person of exceptional character, and our lesson shall focus on the character not only of Joseph, but the character that we would do well to imitate and strive to develop. Character is both formed and displayed in times of adversity and prosperity. Joseph's life was a swing from one extreme to another, but in all circumstances, whether they were favorable or unfavorable, he formed and he displayed a good character. One moment in his life, he was a petted and pampered favorite son. But the next moment, he found himself at the bottom of a pit, placed there by his brothers. Once he was in slavery, but later placed over the household of his master, Potiphar. One time, he was in prison, but later became the man in charge of the prisoners. And in prison, he was a forgotten man, but soon rose to the rank of power second only to Pharaoh himself. Let us see if we can agree with Pharaoh that Joseph was of such a quality, of such a character, that Pharaoh thought in him to be seen all the events of his life, the kind of things that makes him an outstanding person. First, Joseph is an example of obedience to parents. Friend, we live in a time when many young people evidently think that disregarding and disrespecting and disobeying parents is the end thing. Now, we might admit that many parents are much to blame for the development of this attitude in their young. But this is another subject and worthy of our consideration. But God teaches young people to obey and respect their parents. In Exodus 20 and verse 12, the Jews were told, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In Romans chapter 1, Paul described the vile condition of Gentiles who had cast off God, and he listed some 23 sins specifically which characterized them, and one of them in verse 30 he mentioned, "disobedient to parents." Now Joseph was instructed by his father to inquire about the welfare of his brothers as they tended his possessions. And if ever a son might have balked at his father's directions, this could have been the time. Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. They hated him. Obedience to his father would place Joseph at their mercy and disposal. But he answered his father, "Here am I," Genesis 37, verse 13, which simply meant his willingness to go and do whatever it was that his father asked of him. There were many distressing events that followed in the life of Joseph because of what happened to him while obeying his father. But never do we read of Joseph expressing regret for obeying. Quite the contrary. Upon the death of Jacob, Joseph led in paying honor and respect to his parent. Can we find such a one as this among us today? One who is obedient to parents? But secondly, Joseph withstood the test of being mistreated even by his own kin. What happened to Joseph was cruel and unjust and inhumane. He was sent from his home where he enjoyed security and love and physical provision, but was overpowered, he was disclaimed, he was totally rejected by his own flesh and blood. He must surely have suffered physically and mentally and emotionally from this severe ordeal over the years. If ever a lad might have cause to be resentful and grow bitter, Joseph in the pit, Joseph in slavery, Joseph in prison could be that circumstance. You know, sometimes the worst kind of treatment comes from those from whom you least expect it. It is sad when family members are vicious toward each other. What must the Heavenly Father think when there is strife among His children and brethren mistreat each other? People say things and they act in bad ways. They even hold grudges against kinfolk that they would never consider against other people. No maltreatment hurts as bad as maltreatment from physical and spiritual kin. But Joseph had the remarkable quality not to allow evil in others to destroy goodness within himself. Because others did wrong, he did not consider it justification for him to do likewise. He knew and he lived the teaching that Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 19 through 21, about overcoming evil with good. There Paul said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And thirdly, Joseph handled the challenge against his moral purity. Potiphar, the one to whom Joseph was sold, and who was a leader among the people of Egypt, he gave Joseph charge over all his household. The duties of Joseph took him into the living quarters of Potiphar. And while there, he was repeatedly approached by Potiphar's wife to commit fornication with her. But he steadfastly refused, calling such a thing this great wickedness and a sin against God. Genesis 39 and verse 9. And he withstood the temptation, and he retained his moral purity. Joseph learned that one way to escape the ravages of temptation is to put distance between yourself and the temptation. And he fled from her presence. He looked upon temptation not so much as an opportunity to sin, but as an opportunity to resist evil and not sin. Friend, we need to learn that every time we encounter temptation, we can overcome it and grow stronger. This disposition toward temptation equips us to face the next temptation from a stronger position. Can we find such a one among us? And fourthly, Joseph knew how to withstand the trial of false accusations that shattered his reputation. Refusing to be immoral with Potiphar's wife did not deter her from later accusing Joseph to Potiphar of attempting to do the very thing he refused to do. The accusation was a vicious lie, unjust and unfounded, but it was believed nonetheless. Once a trusted servant, he was now banished from the household and was cast into prison with his reputation destroyed by the wickedness of others. There is, however, a difference between reputation and character. Reputation is what others may say and think of you, and this can be good or bad. Of course, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, Proverbs 22 and verse 1. But sinful people can and often do destroy reputations. One is not likely to have a good reputation if he has an evil character. He just might, undeserving though it be, have a good reputation even though he is not of a good character. Character differs from reputation in that character is not what others think of you, but what God knows you to be. And while others may destroy your reputation, friend, only you can destroy your character. Joseph did not let the things that happened to him destroy the good character he possessed. Can we find such a one as this? But again, Joseph knew what it was to be forgotten. You know, he must have wondered, after being sold into Egypt, why his fathers and brothers never came searching for him. Now we know why Jacob did not. He had been deceived by his other sons to think that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast. But Joseph, of course, did not know that. Of course, as honest and sincere as Jacob was in this belief, he was obviously wrong. And we need to learn from this that just being honest and sincere about what we believe does not mean that what we believe is true. This is one of man's most difficult lessons to learn. We see this problem everywhere in matters religious. So many are deceived this way. But also consider the ingratitude of the butler whose dream Joseph interpreted while both of them were in prison. Upon the release of the butler back into the service of Pharaoh, Joseph specifically asked the butler to remember him before Pharaoh. After all, Joseph did not deserve to be where he was. But the scripture tells us that the butler forgot all about him. You know, it's one of the burdens of life to think oneself neglected and forgotten, and made to feel unwanted and unnecessary. Sometimes people do weird and tragic things to themselves and others in reaction to such treatment and feelings toward themselves. But Joseph did not let even this painful experience destroy him. He obviously knew that God cared, and therefore he was never totally alone or forgotten. Who among us has this same confidence and this same disposition? In all of the preceding events that we have mentioned, Joseph suffered adversity, and his character proved sterling and stalwart. He was later, however, elevated to high honor and rank and power and position and prestige and wealth. And having faithfully endured so much abuse, how would he fare in his unexpected prosperity? Are we not aware that many have done well in times of difficulty and hardship and strife, only to wreck their lives when confronted with the peculiar temptations of good fortune and power and authority and the ability to have and to do as one wishes? Would Joseph indulge himself with extravagance? Would Joseph turn against his former persecutors and reap his revenge upon them? What Joseph did is his crowning glory. In fact, in this last portion of Joseph's life, we see a most Christ-like quality in him, even though he lived nearly 20 centuries before Christ. Some have described Joseph as likely being the most Christ-like Old Testament character because of what he did once he gained power. Joseph possessed a forgiving spirit toward his offenders. He was willing to let the evil done against him pass by and be remembered no more. As for his brothers in particular, inasmuch as they gave evidence of genuine penitence and showed their regret for their evil, Joseph returned evil with good. Now his brothers feared him at first, especially after the death of their father. But Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. Genesis 50:19-21. There was not a grudge in his heart, there was no resentment. He had no retaliatory spirit. Rather, he was kind, he was forgiving, he was considerate. Can we find such a one as this? Friend, as we consider these noble qualities, let each of us ask of ourselves if we're the type of person in whom the Spirit of God is. As we partake and follow the teaching of the Spirit, cannot we be of noble character like Joseph? This, however, is impossible unless and until we come to the Christ, the perfect pattern for nobility of character. And we come to Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, to rise and walk in a newness of life, being the kind of person that Joseph was, what a high ambition we have if we strive to be as he was. Can we find such a one as this? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.